Open your Bibles with me this morning to the 12th chapter of John's Gospel, John chapter 12. We'll be reading verses 44 through 50 in just a moment. At this stage of Jesus' ministry, he is in the city of Jerusalem. A couple of days before this, he has gone through what we call the triumphal entry. A few days after this, he is arrested, tried, crucified, and then raised from the dead. And so, as these events are unfolding before him, he is in a process of doing a multiple of things. First of all, he is getting his disciples, as best he can, ready for his crucifixion, getting them ready for the dark days. He does more of that on the last night of the night he's betrayed. Also, he is in the city of Jerusalem. He is going to the temple. He is teaching in the temple. He is going about being continuously confronted by the Pharisees or his adversaries. He is being confronted by those who are curious. Not everyone who sought Jesus and asked him questions during that week had nefarious attitudes. Some of them wanted to know who he was. Some of them were open to the concept that he was the Messiah. Now, we also have to understand that, generally speaking, as they sought him and as they asked those questions, even the most open-minded among them still struggled with the concept of Messiah. They were, again, steeped in the traditions, as were his disciples, and they didn't figure this out till after the resurrection, that the Messiah was a spiritual Messiah, that he had come to redeem mankind, that he had come to be the Lamb of God, the sacrifice for all humanity. And in this particular excerpt that I have pulled out of the scripture this morning, Jesus is talking about why he came. He is giving reference to his purpose. And that is so important for us to understand. Why did Jesus come? Why is there Christmas? Why is there Easter? Why are there those things that we celebrate as Christians? Why do we gather here at 8 o'clock on a snowy morning and come together to worship? Why do these things happen? Well, they happen because God wanted them to happen. And he wanted them to happen for some very particular reasons. And it is all based on his grace, and it is all based in his love and his compassion for mankind, and not just mankind in a general sense, but for each individual that makes up humanity as God seeks them and finds them. Let's read about this together now in John 12, 44 through the end of the chapter. Then Jesus cried out, "The one who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. The one who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and doesn't keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and doesn't accept my sayings has this as his judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. For I have not spoken on my own, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a command as to what I should say and what I should speak. I know that his command is eternal life, and so the things that I speak just as the Father told me." Now here again, we see Jesus having this short discourse on why he came. And first and foremost, above all else, Jesus came out of obedience to the Father. Look there at verses 44 and 45. Then Jesus cried out, "The one who believes in me, believes not in me, but in him who sent me." Don't believe me, but believes in the Father. "And the one who sees me sees him who sent me." You see what Jesus is saying, and this is a pretty common theme in the preaching and the teaching of Jesus, is it's not about him. Now, think about this for a moment. Here is the Son of God. Here is Messiah. Here is the Christ, the one who was preexistent, the one who lived and was part of that holy council that said, let us make man in our image. In the image of God created he them. So here is this part of the Trinity. And he comes to earth and he lives amongst us. And now he's been on earth about 33 of our years. And he comes and he says, look, it is not about me. I did not come because I wanted to come. I came out of obedience to the Father. And that's the bottom line. That's the bottom line of everything that Jesus did. He lived, he taught, he healed, he did everything he did out of obedience to the Father. And that is why we can look back across the life of Jesus and we can recognize the fulfillment of the prophecies and the statement that he would live without sin. He would never once, in all of the temptations he went through, in all of the struggles he went through, not once did he say a word, not once did he perform an act, not once did he have a thought that he would get outside the will of the Father. Now, he was tempted to get out of the will of the Father. He was tempted to go on his own. I'm sure there were times he wanted to behave in an ungodly way to his disciples because of the how, you know, they were not heads, just like we are, and this kind of thing. But not once did he do that. And why? Because he came out of obedience to the Father. And if anyone really ever asked God why, or Jesus would have said, well, God, why do you want me to do that? He never asked that. The answer would have been, because I said so, just like my mom. I mean, she had this deific way of speaking, because in the household, when I was a young child, mom spoke, it was law. And the only reference we had was dad. And mom and dad never deviated. As much as we tried, they never deviated from the law. But be that as it may, the reality is that Jesus came out of obedience. And notice what he says here about himself. He says, if you observe me, you're not observing me, you're observing the Father. And what does that tell us? If you see me, you don't see me, you see the Father. That tells us that if we want to know about God, if we want to know who God is, the best revelation we have of God is Jesus. He just is. If we want to understand God's thinking, if we want to understand His person, if we want to understand His personality, if we want to try to pick up on any quirks that God might have, we need to study the person of Jesus. He is the best revelation. Now, God has spent the entire history of humanity revealing Himself to us. There is this general revelation of God that we see in nature, that we see in history, that we just see around. Now, that tells us there is a God. And we can go through those arguments, but I'm not going to take that time this morning. But the reality is there is a God. That is why every society that has ever been discovered, every aboriginal group, there is religious activity of some kind. Man, by our nature, understands that there is a higher power, that there is a God. And all of the atheistic groups, all of the non-theistic groups that have ever existed have existed in conflict with that reality, and that's why they don't last. And that's the simple, long, and short of it. But in addition to general revelation, there is specific revelation. God has come to humanity, and from time to time, He has revealed Himself very specifically. Adam and Eve knew exactly who God was. Cain and Abel knew exactly who God was. Abraham had encounters with the God of the universe. David had encounters with the God of the universe. And so on and so on and so on. And you and I, who bear the name of Christ, we have had encounters with the God of the universe. He speaks to us. He touches us. He does things in and around our lives that we recognize as His activities. These are God revealing Himself personally to us. And then there is the Bible. The Bible is a tremendous revelation. God inspired people through the ages, Old Testament and New Testament, to write these things, write history, write activities, write prophecies, write poetry, give instruction to write letters in the New Testament. These things, God inspired them so He could reveal Himself to humanity so that we would have a written record. And as good and as powerful and as precise a revelation of God that the Bible is, the best revelation is Jesus Himself. If you want to know about God, know Jesus. We live in this interesting world where so many people, you know, deny the existence of God, and that if you talk to people about God, they immediately want to know which God are you talking about, and they put the Christian God and the other gods all on the same plane and blah, 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 blah. But the God is Jesus. And if you want to know who God is, who the Creator is, if you want to know how He thinks, how He responds, if you want to pick up on His sense of humor, and believe you me, God's got a tremendous sense of humor, go look at Jesus. Study His life. Study His attitude. Study what He taught about serving. Study what He taught about life and about how to live. Study what He says about prayer, what He says about worship. Learn and see what Jesus says. And when He calls people to come to Him, understand He has come to give us the image of the Father, for us to see the Father. God is not hiding from us. We are not involved in a spiritual cosmic game of hide and go seek, and He is always hiding in the weeds. He's not sneaking up on us going boo. He's not doing those kind of things. He wants us to know Him. And He wants us to know Him so badly, He created this world with preciseness, with glory, with goodness. He created humanity. He has worked with sinful humanity in revealing Himself. And ultimately, He sent His Son and said, if you want to know the Father, come know the Son. And you will see who I am. We are one. We are the same. What I say, He says, are not my words, they are the Father's words. And it is important for us to understand that Jesus came so that we could know the Father, and He came out of obedience to Him. Jesus also came in this vein, specifically so mankind could know the truth. Look at verse 46. I have come as a light into the world, so that everyone believes in me would not remain in darkness. You hear what He's saying here. He's saying, this is my purpose. I have come because God told me to come. I am here revealing the reality of the Father to all the world who would come to recognize Him. I am doing that, but I have come to give light, to shine light into this dark world. Now, the world is caught in the darkness of sin. We understand that. We see that. We recognize that. You can't watch the world news. You can't watch the national news. You can't watch the local news without seeing the darkness that sin has cast upon humanity. And it's not unique to our society and our culture. It is not unique to our time in history. From the time Adam and Eve rebelled against God in the garden, man has lived in darkness. It has been a struggle. And God has worked extensively to shine His light into this extraordinarily dark world. And then the brightest light that He sent, again, we go back to the person of Jesus. There in Bethlehem, the light was born. And throughout His life, the light shined. And in those last 3 years of His ministry, the light became brighter and brighter and brighter. And then on Easter morning, when He got out of that grave, the stone of the tomb rolled back, and out of the tomb came the bright light of Jesus. And it has shone for all the world to see. Now, I don't know about you, but when I am walking around somewhere after the sun has gone down and there is darkness around, I really like to have a light. Why? because my toes don't like to bang into things. Now they do, and I can do a pretty impressive hop around. And yeah, and I can do, I don't dance, I'm Baptist, but you know, I can do those things, but I don't like it. It is amazing how bad that little pinky toe can hurt if I hit something in the darkness. But the truth and reality is if I turn on the light, the odds of me smacking my pinky toe aren't nearly as large as when it is dark. It's not saying it's impossible, but it's not nearly as likely. We like to walk in the light. It is safer to walk in the light. We can go with more precision. We can go with more speed. We can live with more confidence when we walk in the light. And Jesus said, I am the light. And when we receive Christ as Savior and the Holy Spirit comes within us and we receive the miracle of salvation and the supernatural presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives every day, it completely illuminates the world. And we don't understand everything in the world. And we don't avoid every pitfall. And we don't have everything falling perfectly at our feet as Christians. But at least we see, at least we understand. At least we can comprehend what is going on around us. And the reason for the last 2,000 years that the world and the church has been in conflict with itself is because the church walks in the light. I'm speaking of the church universal. I'm speaking of the church that has Christ living within it. The true living church, the believers, those who know Christ as Savior. Not just the folks that show up, you know, and attend services, not the ones who claim to have a religious affiliation, but those who truly have a relationship with Christ and the Holy Spirit is within us. We see life and we understand life. And we look at the world and we are so confused why the world is out there doing what it does. Why people treat each other the way they do when there is an option. There are other ways. There are better ways because we have seen those ways. And it is so clear and it is so obvious to us. And we don't understand why the world doesn't see life as clearly as we see the world. Well, it's because they're in darkness. Because they're blind. Because they have not yet been delivered. Now, the deliverance is available to them, but they have not received it. They have not accepted it. They have not begun to walk in that journey with the light. And so they're caught in darkness. And they're suffering in darkness. And so many times when humanity is hurting, the only relief they think they can find is by making the rest of humanity work. I'm hurt, so someone else has to hurt. Now, that doesn't make any sense, but that's the way the world sees. That's the way the world thinks. Why? Because they're in darkness. But Jesus says, I am the light, and I have come to bring light to humanity. The light of eternity, the light of promise, the light of hope, the light of abundance in this life that we can live in and we can enjoy and we can see these strengths and these truths. You see, Jesus drives away the darkness of sin. And he replaces it with the light of life and the peace that goes beyond all human understanding. As Christians, we live our lives in God's light. And we have to remember that. Sometimes we forget. And sometimes we think we're living in our light. And I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings here, but folks, our light ain't all that bright. It's a little bit on the dim side. It could use an upgrade. But when we have the light of Jesus, oh, what a glory it is. And this is what he has for us. And he says, I have come so that you can walk in light. And he was saying that to people who were caught in darkness. He was saying that to people who are caught in light. Now, sometimes folks try to live on the edge of night. You remember that show? Anyway, I just dated myself. An old soap opera back from when I was a kid. Is it still on? I don't know. Wouldn't watch it if it was. But they try to walk on that edge. You know, living over in darkness and the things of the world, you know, but close to the edge of the light so when things get bad over here, they can go charging back over to Jesus and he'll make things good again. It doesn't work that way. And that's the reason so often that folks in church struggle with life because they're trying to walk in the darkness. They're trying to dabble back in the old ways. An Old Testament illustration, they keep wanting to go back to Egypt, to the slavery. And God says, there is no light there. There is no freedom there. And if you think you can dabble over in that and then come running back and then the light will be where you think it is, you're going to be sadly mistaken. And that's why he says so often, if you hear these words of mine and you do them, you love me if you obey me. I mean, these are the words of Jesus, and these are the instructions and the warnings of Jesus, that it comes from walking in the light and living in the light, the true light, and doing all we can to stay in that light. But ultimately, Jesus came so that you and I can have eternal life. Look at verses 49 and 50. For I have not spoken on my own, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a command as to what I should say and what I should speak. And this is what he speaks. Listen to this. I know that his command is eternal life. Do you hear what Jesus just told us? I know that his command is eternal life. So the things that I speak as the Father has told me. So he says, my message is important. My message is essential. He said, the words I speak exactly as the Father has given me, because he has given me an important word to speak, because that word is eternal life. Above everything else, in addition to everything else, Jesus says, I have come to bring eternal life. And the word of the Father is to bring eternal life. Now, what does this tell us? Tells us one thing, we need to listen to Jesus. The other thing it tells us that the Father cares. The Father, above everything else, he wants us to have eternal life. He withheld nothing, nothing, because he wanted us to have eternal life. He sent his own Son. Jesus walked through the muck of humanity, through the garbage pit of humanity, in order that you and I could have eternal life. Jesus suffered and died on a cross so that you and I can have eternal life. He ascended to the Father after his resurrection. He sent his Holy Spirit to reveal these truths to us. And there is only one thing that truly matters to God. And that thing that matters to God is that humanity, people, individuals, receive what he has given. And that is eternal life. Jesus says, these are my words. But they're not my words, they're the Father's words. And what the Father wants you to hear and to receive and to respond to is that invitation into eternal life. You see? This is a profound statement. We kind of read through it because it's not the most poetic passage Jesus ever said, at least not when you translate it into English. But the reality is, there is no greater expression of love, joy, invitation, or anything else that we receive other than when he says, his command is eternal life. Now, what is his command? His command to Jesus was to come and do what Jesus did. Jesus was obedient. His command to us is to receive Jesus and to begin to walk in his light. And when we walk in his light, we are walking in eternity, in eternal life. And that is God's purpose. That is why Jesus came. He came for no other reason. He did not come to experience what humanity experienced. He already knew that. He didn't come to show that it could be done. Live a life in perfect relationship with the Father. He knew he could do that. He had done that for a long time. He came so you and I can have eternal life. That is his purpose. And then as believers, we need to follow the example of Jesus. We need to be Christian, like Christ, little Christs. That is what we need to be. And what is that? We need to be obedient to the Father. We need to shine the light of Jesus in our world They need to see that. Why? Because God's purpose is eternal life. We are already living in that eternity. We are living in that reality if we bear the name of Christ. And it is our job to shine that light into an extraordinarily dark and hateful world so that some other individuals can come to light and life. That is our purpose. That is our calling. That is the invitation. Jesus invited people from darkness into light and then to share that truth with all who would know. And that is what he wants for you and me. That is our purpose. That is his will for us. Be obedient to him, just as Jesus was fully obedient to the Father in his life and ministry, in his death, his resurrection. The first thing we must do is consider our relationship with him. Do we know him as our Lord? Do we know him as our Savior? And if we do not, it is time to consider him. To consider what he is saying to us and how he is inviting us to come and receive him. But if we do know him, if we are already in the kingdom, are there things that are shadowing his light in our life? Is there truth and reality in our daily walk that may be inhibiting our ability to reflect his light into our world and to our surroundings? Follow his direction as he instructs you how to deal with whatever it is he says to you this day.